Okay, for our devotion tonight, some of the less familiar sayings of Jesus, I've gone all the way into the end of John's Gospel. I'm not really trying to stick to any chronological order here, but just as I thumb through and find things, and this is one of them. John chapter 21, and let me just summarize where we are here. From verses 15 to 20, Jesus is restoring Peter. He asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Because as we know, Peter denied Jesus three times. And denying his Lord was certainly not an act of love or faith or friendship or any virtue. It was a complete self-concern and fearful concern. But the Lord is gracious. And even at our worst, he never is unfaithful to us and unloving towards us. And so he brings Peter about in this way of restoring him and draws from him what really was there when Peter denied Jesus. He did deny it, but as Jesus had warned Peter, his faith was being tested, and Jesus was praying for Peter. And you might think, well, if Jesus was praying, Peter shouldn't have had that failure of faith. Well, Jesus was praying that Peter's faith would grow stronger. And our faith often grows stronger through failures and brokenness. And then it comes back, it grows back stronger, when the Lord restores us. So anyway, this is the restoration of Peter, and Jesus, towards the end of that restoration, says something about how Peter had lived and how he would die. And John said that in this way, he was indicating how he, Peter, would glorify the Lord by his death. And when Jesus, verse 19 says, had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. And we know that this was John. The one who had also leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." This saying, therefore, went out among the brethren, that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" Now, the unfamiliar bit of this is when Jesus says in answer to Peter's question. Jesus had been asking Peter questions. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" Three times. And then he gave him instruction based upon Peter answering all three times, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Now Peter asked Jesus a question. "Lord, what about this man?" John, following along behind them on the beach, on the sea shore of Tiberias. And Jesus says, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Now, this was not an unfamiliar saying in the days of the apostles, because verse 23 tells us it went abroad as causing people to think that Jesus had said John would never die. But more about that in a minute. To us, it's relatively unfamiliar. Because we're just thinking, oh boy, I mean, at least I'm not like Peter. And that's about as far as it registers. But what do we make of this answer that Jesus gives to Peter? The fact is that when we read closely, we learn a number of things that pertain to ourselves. For example, Peter seeing him, the man who had been in a very special loving relationship with the Lord, because John, you know, was called the beloved disciple, not the loving disciple, but the beloved disciple. because John didn't put up so much obstacle to and pushback to Jesus' love. He accepted it more readily and purely than any of the other disciples. He knew that he was loved. And if we know that the Lord loves us, we become lovers of the Lord and of others. John tells us that in his first letter. We love because he first loved us. So when Peter sees this beloved disciple, he thinks, boy, you know, I've really resented John. He takes the center stage of the Lord's attention. And now he's tagging along behind us. When Jesus has restored me and he's coming along, what does he want? What business does he have following after us? So I'm sure part of the reason Peter asked the question was now that the restoration was complete and some of it was very painful for Peter. Well, what about him, Lord? Aren't you going to straighten him out too? That had to be what prompted this. And even if it wasn't, Jesus had just said, you follow me in verse 19. And Peter turned around immediately and looked at John. And started worrying about John and concerning himself with John. Now, what happens when we do what Jesus tells us to do? You follow me. What path does that take? What development does that take in our lives? If he says you follow me and we really do fix our faith on him, We just are enthralled with Jesus. We're taken up with Jesus. And there's nobody else. Nobody comes close. Even if a brother or sister or mother or father seeks to intrude, we hate them. That's a mark of discipleship. That's what Jesus told his disciples. We hate them in comparison with the love that we have for Jesus. But Peter, as soon as he was told to follow Jesus, demonstrated that he wasn't following Jesus. He might have been restored in his faith, but it was all bandaged up and in a splint, and he needed crutches because he quickly gets himself caught up with somebody who had been irritating him and for whom he really didn't have love, not pure love. He had some love. He had to have some love. If he loved Jesus. But Peter, was doing something that is common for all of us. And that's why I went on to read verse 23, because this saying, when Jesus answered and said, if I want him to remain until I come, what's that to you? That's kind of a short and painfully corrective answer, isn't it? I know what my plans are for John, because he's following me, Peter. He's not following you, and he's not busy being a busybody over you. He's following me, just as I'm telling you to follow me. And if in following me, I want him to stay till the end of the world, what business is that of yours? But the saying went out, and look at what people made of it. Jesus said, John's never going to die. Jesus said, John's never going to die. Now, don't you think that somebody would have gone to Jesus and asked, is that really what you meant, Lord? But no. Peter looked through Jesus to John. And this is what the people who took up this report and passed it on to others were doing. They were looking through Jesus. They didn't want to look to Jesus and sit at his feet the way Mary did and hang on his every word. They liked to embellish what Jesus said. They liked to have Jesus to be something they can look through. And in doing so, refer to him as just a kind of a vague force. But the real concern is somebody else, somebody we don't like, somebody we think is a bad person, and we've heard something that seems to confirm that about him. And now we want to talk about it. This is what makes this unfamiliar statement something that should be more familiar to us than it is. Because when Jesus answers, he just reiterates his prerogative over John, and by the same prerogative he has over Peter. You follow me. By my divine prerogative, I'm giving you a blessed order, a blessed command. Follow me. And don't be worried about other people. He also says, in following me, makes it clear that it's Jesus first. And we can quibble over the acronym JOY, Jesus first, others next, yourself last of all, is truly an accurate description of what the process should be or not. But in this case, we don't see that there's anything but Jesus vaguely there as someone to complain to about someone who was bothering Peter. So there's no joy there. And Jesus gives the correction. You follow me. What is that to you? You remember when the Lord first came to Cain after he killed his brother Abel and asked Cain, where is your brother? Cain answered and said, am I my brother's keeper? And I'm not responsible for my brother. I'm responsible for myself, and he has to take care of himself. I don't know. But we know that was just a guise and an attempt to divert the Lord from the truth that Cain had killed his brother. That was the answer. Where is Cain? He's in the earth. I put him there. I killed him and buried him. But we can have that very same thing working in us in a very pietistic way. When we become taken up with other people, and we put them in a place in our economy that isn't where they are in the Lord's economy. We want to manage them. We want to either put them down if we think they're getting too uppity, or we need to kind of encourage and build them up if we think they're too low. But what's wrong with building them up? Plenty's wrong if the motive is be able to tell somebody about it so they think that you're a great person. Because you've lost your reward if you do it for that. Because that's not really love. That's self-regard. But it also is self-regard when we fixate on other people. Because it relieves us of the holy duty to learn the secrets of our own hearts, to ask ourselves why we're doing a certain thing or not doing another thing. And we put other people's attention there. Let's talk about John now, Lord. We've talked enough about me. Let's talk about that guy following us down the beach. This is a variation of the speck in the log in the eye. Where Jesus says, you know, you think you're being loving and faithful and pious when you're concerned to take the speck out of your brother's eye, but you've got a log in your own eye. And this is what we're all called to do. Follow Jesus. First, foremost, always. And this, to the extent that we love our neighbor, is a very distant second, because we're only supposed to love them as we love ourselves. And our love for ourselves is very sporadic and imperfect, but we're to love him with all that we are and all that we have. So this guise for caring for a brother or sister, what's going to happen with them? We've got to do something to help them. It can look very much like genuine Christian charity. And there is such a thing as genuine Christian charity when we are genuinely concerned for a brother or sister. And usually, as part of the package of that concern, we try and help them as inconspicuously as possible, because that's the way the Lord helps us. He doesn't send down legions of angels with trumpets saying, "Behold, God is going to come and do a good and merciful work now." So the more that we're like him, the more we'll act like him in relationship with other people. But we are to concern ourselves with the Lord first. And in our day, and this is what some of these unfamiliar sayings I'm trying to relate to things that are going on in our day. If you think about it, we're very much concerned with other people today because we're so lonely in our own homes. And we could say, well, it's natural. Well, it is natural. It's part of being in a natural world and an affliction. But we can be caring about what other people are doing and why. Even the ones who've left our church, there can be an unholy, unloving, looking through Jesus to those people in order to manage them or make them come around to seeing things the way we do. And the fact is, we're not all that sure that we're doing the right thing in staying home. We're told, and seems to be working when it's tried. But these are days when we should be following Jesus more than following our own impulses and our own suspicions and our own agendas for the way we think things should work out. What are others doing in our day? We shouldn't be asking that question so much as, what am I doing today? Am I following Jesus? And if I do that, if you do that, our lives are going to become simpler. It won't be so cluttered with diverting concerns that are not really loving, but divert us from probing our own hearts, growing and doing the hard things, persevering in faithfulness, loving not just those we easily find to be lovable, but loving the hard cases, the difficult people, loving even our enemy. That's what we're doing when we follow Jesus. Now, that's something worth thinking about. It's a question that's in the book. And most people, even in the days of Jesus, got it wrong. They thought he was making a pronouncement about John. And they were just fixed. Their intention was fixed on John. Keep an eye on John. Let's see if he really does outlive everybody. When all the while Jesus said, that's not what I was saying. I said, follow me.